Please, with a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence this morning. We come, O God, because we need thee. Lord, we pray you'll help us, Lord, as we would seek to worship thee and to glorify thy name. O God, we pray that today thy name will be exalted in everything, Lord, that would take place in this house today. Be with us and give us help, Lord, just now in the Savior's name we ask. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of hymn number 412. Words will be on the screen. 412, page 343. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice as it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. 412, we'll stand as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's stand to sing. Come before the Lord again, please, in prayer. Let's seek his help and his presence with us just now. Eternal God and our Father, it is our prayer, it is our desire today that we would be drawn closer and nearer to thyself. God, realize, Lord, that in the week that has passed, each one, Lord, have been busy, active in the things of this world. But, O God, we pray that for this time, Lord, for this hour of worship, Lord, that you would be pleased to come and presence thyself with us. O God, we pray that, Lord, as we would seek to draw near to thee, Lord, that you would by thy Holy Spirit, Lord, draw near to us. Lord, we need thee today. Oh God, we just pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to come and help us and aid us. Oh God, we thank thee today for our Savior. We thank thee, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, today for the Son of God who loved me, the one who gave himself for me. Lord, we can never praise thee enough. We can never thank thee enough for all, Lord, that you've done for us. We, Lord, just rejoice today that we are here. Lord, we thank thee today for your mercies, Lord, that have been extended to us. Lord, we thank thee most of all for thy so great salvation. O God, we thank thee for sending thy Son into this world. We thank thee, Lord, today that he lived that perfect life, that he died the atoning death for us there on Calvary's cross for the precious blood that was shed. And, O God, we thank thee today that we who are saved today, we have, Lord, this assurance, Lord, that it's well with our souls. We thank thee, O God, today that the wrath of God, Lord, has, Lord, been removed, that we're in Christ today, no longer, Lord, under the condemnation of God. O God, we thank thee today that we have, Lord, the assurance of sins forgiven. Lord, the assurance of a home in heaven. And Lord, we thank thee, praise thee for all that you've done for us. Lord, help us today to thank thee. Lord, help us to rejoice in all that we have in Christ. Lord, we acknowledge, Lord, that so often at times we can lose the wonder of our salvation. Lord, we can lose the joy of what it means for us to be saved. And O God, we pray that you'll come afresh. And Lord, renew, Lord, that right spirit within us. Give us, Lord, that greater love for our Savior, we pray. We ask, O God, that you'll come and meet with us, Lord, in this service of worship. Lord, we thank thee for the grace of God that finds us here, for the goodness of God, Lord, that has been extended to us, that we're here. We thank thee, Lord, for the health and strength, for food and for clothes, Lord, for all of these things. We give thee thanks, for, Lord, we realize that every good and every perfect gift comes from thee. And our Father, we pray that you'll help us today. Aid us in our worship of thee. And O God, we pray that we might be very conscious that God is here. Pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray. O God, we pray that this will be a different meeting. Lord, we pray that we, Lord, will not merely go through the rituals or the motions of a meeting. But O God, we pray that by thy Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'll take control. Lord, move in this place, we pray. And pour out your Spirit upon us, we ask. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless through the reading and the proclamation of the Word of God. O God, we pray that today, Lord, that we'll hear the Word of God, Lord, that we'll hear thy voice. Lord, as we consider our motto text for this year, our Father, we pray that you would be pleased to come and write thy Word upon our hearts. And O God, we pray that we might not only hear the Word, but Lord, help us to be obedient to that Word as well. We ask, O God, that we'll leave this place, Lord, changed today, Lord, having heard the Word of God. Lord, we pray that today we may, Lord, like Mary, choose that better part and sit at the Master's feet and hear the voice of our Savior speaking to us today. And Father, we pray that you'll bless each one who's been enabled to gather in the house this morning. We ask, O God, that you'll come and meet with us all. We ask, O God, that you'll remember those who cannot gather with us today. Remember those who are unwell at this time. Remember, Lord, those who are in hospital. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch them in their bodies. We ask, O God, that you'll draw very near, Lord, to those who are unwell in their own homes. Lord, those in nursing care. Lord, touch, O God, thy dear servants at this time. And, Lord, restore unto them, Lord, that needed health and strength once again. And, Father, we pray that you'll bless the going forth of thy word across our land and across our nation. Remember, Lord, our city today. We pray, God, for our capital city. Bless Belfast, we pray. Pour your Spirit upon us, we pray. Lord, in all the darkness and all the sin, we pray, Lord, that we might see the hand of God at work. Lord, bless us here as little witness here in the Sandown Road. Bless our congregation. Lord, bless every friend and member. Oh God, we pray that you'll help us to go forward in this year that lies before us. Lord, that we'll see the hand of God at work. Lord, be pleased to use us, we pray. And Lord, may we be those vessels fit and ready for the Master's use. So be with us, we pray. Continue your hand upon us and just be with us just now. And continue, Lord, with us, we pray, as we continue to further worship thy great name, we pray, as we read the Word of God, as we sing thy praise. Lord, as we sit around the Word of God this morning, do our hearts good, we ask. Lift us heavenward. And Lord, we pray you'll come and speak to us each and to all. Be with us just now. Continue, Lord, your presence with us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You have a copy of the Word of God this morning. We're turning to the New Testament, please. turning to the book of Philippians and the chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. A week late, but we're coming to our motto text for this morning. My apologies not being with you last Lord's Day, but appreciate your prayers, and we look forward to getting into the Word of God this morning and looking to see what the Lord would have to say to us as we look forward into this year that lies before us as what the Lord would have for us. We're going to read from Philippians chapter 1. We're going to commence at the verse number 12, Philippians chapter 1. And the verse 12, it says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply all the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for my coming to you again." Amen. We'll end there at verse 26, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. At this stage, let me welcome you all along to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord today, and we welcome you warmly in the Savior's great name. And we want to welcome back our dear brother William and Mary. We are delighted to have you both with us today. You have been missed, as you know, and we're delighted to see you. We pray the Lord will continue to bless you both, keep your hand upon you, and be with you. And to you all, those who are visiting as well, we welcome you warmly in the Savior's name. We trust that you feel the warmth of the welcome here in Sandown this morning. Also glad to have Annie with us again today. Annie goes back again to Scotland, Annie Rose. We pray the Lord bless you, Annie. Thank you for being with us over these past number of weeks. Pray the Lord bless you as you go back to another time of study over there in Dundee. Do remember that today is our Missionary Council retiring offering. This being the second Lord's Day of the month, and the basket, the box there on your way out for that. We have our prayer meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. We encourage you to come again if you can for that season of prayer. That's followed then by our gospel service this evening at 6:30, half past six tonight. And we'd love to see you back again tonight for our gospel meeting. This will be the first of our family services for this new year. And our brother Aaron Montgomery from Ballyclare, but a member of our church in Ballymena, will be along to testify to us this evening. We're looking forward to having Aaron come along and speak to us tonight. And our brother Stephen Patterson will be here to sing. So I trust that you'll join with us tonight. Why not invite somebody along this evening to the gospel service? Come yourself and bring someone with you for this gospel meeting tonight. Half past six, and there'll be tea, supper afterwards for everyone as well. Tuesday night, that sees the recommencement of the Explorers Bible Club for the boys and girls here in the church at 6:30. Also on Tuesday nights, our Bible study and prayer meeting here in the church at 8:00, and we'll be continuing, God willing, looking at the sounds in Scripture. Also on Friday night, 8:00, our youth fellowship. We'll be back to the meeting upstairs, 8:00 Friday night for our youth fellowship. I'll be speaking at the youth fellowship this Friday evening in the will of the Lord. Next Sunday, 10:15, Sunday school and Bible class, and then our prayers time at 11:00, followed by our morning worship service at 11:30 next Sunday morning. Now, we were to have our brother Glenn Hamilton, one of our students, last Sunday, but because of sickness, Glenn wasn't able to come, but he is coming, God willing, next Sunday morning to speak to us and to tell us especially of his time out in Kenya over last summer. We're looking forward to having Glenn, and so I trust that you'll come and join with us next Sunday morning for that morning service. Then the Sunday school in Hollywood recommences next Sunday afternoon, 2:30. Gospel service next Sunday night at 6:30. I'll be preaching, and our brother Ethan McKillen from Ballymena will be singing. A few other announcements just to bring to you at this stage. Do remember that we are still looking for help in relation to the LTBS recordings down in Lurgan on Thursday, the 19th of January. Thank you to those who have signed up. But if you haven't and you would be available on that night, then we are making that appeal. Come and join with us. We'll get you transport down there. There's three recordings that night, starting at 7, 8:00, and 9:00. And if you can help as being a part of the congregation, then that would certainly be appreciated. There's a list there in the hallway. Put your name on it, and we can get more details to you. Vision magazine is available today, and also the LTBS magazine is available as well. And if you didn't get a copy of the Sandown Herald last week, they're also available. They're all free of charge, and they'll be given to you as you leave the meeting. Also, our motto text cards are available, with the motto text on the one side and then the calendar for this year on the other side as well. And they'll all be given out to you as you leave. If I can, just in relation to our young people, draw your attention to one particular part of the vision, and that is the mission trips that are being planned this year by our mission board. This is really a new venture for our mission board. They're planning two trips to Uganda in the end of June, and also one in Kenya at the middle of August. And so I trust that you'll take those to heart, and if you would like to go, then please speak to me. I'm taking the one to Uganda and also part of the one to Kenya as well. And so if you'd like any more information, by all means, speak to me. Places are limited. We can only take so many. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, then I encourage you to prayerfully consider that. Can I remind our members of session that we have a session meeting on Thursday, the 26th of January at 7:30, God willing. And then at the end of the month, we'll be having our week of prayer starting on Sunday, the 29th of January, going in that following week. So please to remember that and plan to keep those nights available. Do remember the offering boxes. They're available as you leave for your tithes and for your offerings. And if you haven't got your envelopes for this year, then please do see Kyle or some of the men there in the door, and they'll be able to get you a set of envelopes for this year. Those are all by way of announcements, and as always, they are made subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing another hymn at this stage, and we're going to sing our new hymn. I sent out the details of this to you yesterday to those who are in the WhatsApp group. Mine are days that God has numbered. I was made to walk with him, yet I look for worldly treasure and forsake the King of Kings. So I hope you've had a chance to listen to it and sing it through a few times. I'm going to ask Gillian if you play for the first verse, just three for us, please, and then we'll try it after that. Thank you. Thank you. who knows that? Who's heard that before? That's good. Good. Okay, so we're looking to you half dozen to really sing your very best. All right? And the rest of us will just dummy flute in behind you. It's a lovely hymn. A hymn so much centered on Christ and magnifies Christ and ties in, I trust, with our motto text for this year. We'll stand to sing. We always sing better when we stand. So we'll stand to sing. There's three verses, and then at the very end, there's a wee half verse, and we'll go straight into that half verse at the end, but it's the same tune as the last four lines of each of the other verses, but we'll get to know it anyway. So we'll stand as we sing this hymn, please. Thank you, Gillian. Let's stand to sing. Other bits of it, but we'll not do those just today. We'll try them at another time. We're going to sing it again tonight, so you get practicing again this afternoon, and let's do our best again. But thank you for your help in that. Philippians chapter 1 then, please. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and we want to take as our thoughts and as our theme for today. Apologies about the slide. You'll need good eyesight to see it. But the text is verse 21. Just the first part of this verse. Well-known verse. You've heard it preached on before. But I believe the Lord would have us to have this verse as our motto text for this year. Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer as we come to his word for today. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee today that we can say Christ is mine forevermore. We thank the Lord today for each one that's saved in this meeting, that Christ is ours. We belong to thee. We're in thee. We've been bought by the precious blood of Christ. And our Father, we pray that as we come then to the Word of God, and as we consider, Lord, this text, this motto text for today, we ask, O God, that you be pleased to help us, not only, Lord, to read the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, but Lord, help us to live by that Word and to put that Word into action in our lives. Lord, we look to Thee. Give us help just now. Help us, Lord, to understand, to rightly divide the Scriptures of truth. Help us to hear. And, O God, we pray that you'll come and be with us today. Help us, Lord, in the preaching. Help us in the hearing. O God, pour your Spirit upon us just now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Priorities. Priorities and priorities. Every year, we start off the year with the best of intentions to prioritize those things, those matters in our life that perhaps had been lacking in the previous year. Maybe priorities concerning our health, priorities concerning our food consumption, maybe priorities concerning our business, our home life, our family life, our employment, those things that we left unattended last year. We are going with the best of intentions to put more effort into them this year and to prioritize them. That is why, when it comes to every new year, many people will make New Year's resolutions. It is their intention, our intention, to prioritize certain things in our life. Most of those will have to do with our physical life, our material well-being. But as we start off another year in the work and the witness of God here in Sandown, I wonder how many of us have thought about prioritizing spiritual things, prioritizing our spiritual walk with God, our closeness on our communion with the Lord. Because, folks, the reality is that everything else will be of little or no significance if we have not prioritized the matters of God, first of all. Anything temporal or material that may change will be of little effect in our lives if we still not have prioritized the things of God. As we start off another year in the work of God, a year that no doubt will bring its challenges, a year no doubt that will bring its changes, I know that I have certain priorities I'd like to see, not just in our own congregation, but also in my own life. But as I thought about how we can fully realize and actually achieve our priorities, the Lord brought us to these familiar words in Philippians 1 and the verse 21, a text we know so well. Text we've often heard quoted. A text I'm sure you've heard preached upon many times, but I trust that the depth of meaning and significance of these words will all grip us today. Because I believe the words of Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 21 are really the answer to everything else that may be lacking or needful in our lives. How can we prioritize those matters in our lives? Well, we can by prioritizing Christ. Paul, in these few words, he makes a very clear statement of faith. He says, "For to me to live is Christ." What essentially Paul is saying here is that his life is not centered upon the earthly or the material, those things necessary though they be. His life was centered in Christ. Paul didn't even say here that his priority was seeing more churches established, seeing more souls saved. Paul's chief priority, first and foremost, was living for Christ. You see, Paul knew that when his living for Christ was right, that everything else then would fall into place after that. That didn't mean that everything was going to be perfect. That didn't mean that everything was going to be easy. And if you knew anything of the life of Paul, life was anything but easy for him. But he had a priority that outshone all other priorities, and that was that his life would be lived for Christ. And as we come to the start of another year as your pastor, I want to challenge your life, my life. Each one who professes the name of Christ, takes the name of Christian, that we prioritize Christ in our life in 2023. This challenge that is summed up for us here, I believe the Lord would have us for our motto text for this year, is a challenge to live our lives out and out for the Savior in this year. Not just to be content to live life on the sidelines, not just to be content to do enough as far as religion and Christianity is concerned, but rather that our lives, our families, our homes, our church would be controlled with this overriding and this overarching priority for to me to live is Christ. Some things I want us to notice here about the words of our motto text, for to me to live is Christ. Notice first of all here, there's the declaration that is specific. The declaration that is specific. Paul made many profound and many deep statements throughout his writings. Paul, as you know, was a man who never minced his words. He was clear, he was straightforward in what he said. When he spoke, everybody knew what he meant. You could be never left in any doubt as to what Paul was trying to say. Yet all that Paul ever said, all that Paul ever wrote, could, I believe, be based and founded on this most profound of all declarations that he makes here in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. As we consider this declaration, which really was the motivation for his life, I want you to see really this declaration is a summary of his life. And I want to labor this point for a little moment, because I believe it's vital to our understanding, yes, of the life of the Apostle Paul, who was a man greatly used of God. You see, when Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, what he was saying, what he was doing, was summarizing his life. Everything else was secondary for this man. His life could be summarized in one word, Christ. As I was studying this message, I came across an article by a man who was saved. But he admits that his life didn't always count for Christ. He used to play a lot of basketball, and he said that that sport dominated his life. It took over his life. He wrote in that article how that he had a t-shirt, and that t-shirt said that life is basketball and the rest is just detail. Life is basketball and the rest is just detail. And that was the t-shirt that he wore. The idea, of course, was that the primary motivation, summary of his life was basketball. Everything else really didn't matter. Basketball was the biggest priority in his life. And he writes very openly and very honestly how that had an impact on his relationship with the Lord. He admitted that God wasn't really the part of his life that he should have been. Now, basketball may not be your thing. And I would dare say it's probably not your thing. But you can place anything else there instead of basketball. Because you see, anything we place in front of Christ is an idol. Anything that we think is more important than Christ in our lives is an idol and is more important to us than the Savior. Man was very honest when he said that Christ wasn't everything to him. And you know, folks, it's easy to put on the show, isn't it? It's easy to talk the talk. It's easy to say, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. But does Christ form the central part of our lives. For Paul, Christ was his life. I wonder this morning, how much of our lives does Christ have? What is the summary of your life? Maybe you say today, I live my life for my family, and there's nothing wrong with that. You live your life for your career, and that's okay. Maybe you live your life for your hobbies, your organizations, your outside interests. Let me ask you today, what is it? What is it that gets you excited? What is it that really stirs you up? What is it really that gets your blood going? Because whatever that is, that's what your life is summarized by. For Paul, the summary of his life was Christ, and only Christ. Notice the words again in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. Christ was his personal goal and aim in life. The structure of those words in the original, it's very emphatic, very definite. To me to live. Christ. Making it very clear there that Christ was his life. The sum, the substance of his life was Christ. In fact, that word, those words in verse 21 to me, in the original, they're one word, a Greek word, ego. Now, we all know the word ego. We know it as it comes into our English language. We talk about someone's ego. It's their pride. It's their boast. It's what takes up their life. Paul's ego was not about Paul. Paul's ego was Christ. His life was totally overtaken by the Savior. You know how that another place he talked about his boast only being in Christ. Maybe in 2022, we've allowed our priorities to slip. Maybe last year, we allowed our love and our living for Christ to take a second, third, fourth, maybe even final place. And just when it suited, Christ took what was left. I think we all do well to take a spiritual health check at the start of this year and seek to dedicate our lives afresh to the Lord and with meaning. And with truth and with honesty before God, may we say like Paul, for to me, to live is Christ. The summary of this declaration, but notice as well the situations of this declaration. Look back to verse 12. We read verse 12 where we opened our reading this morning. It says, but I would... You should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me, the things which have happened unto me. Paul there in that little phrase just sums up all the various situations that he found himself in. Paul experienced some very difficult days in his life. You read the last part of the book of Acts, you'll find how that he was falsely accused, he was illegally arrested, he was imprisoned. In fact, he was in prison, as you know, when he wrote the book of Philippians. He was shipwrecked. He was forsaken. He was beaten. Just some of the many things that happened unto Paul. And yet in the midst of all of those things, he could still say, for to me to live is Christ. It's easy to live for Christ when everything's going well, isn't it? It's easy to live for Christ when things are easy. There's no problems, no situations that would cause us any distress. But the reality is, folks, it's not until the going gets tough and the problems come and the difficulties arise in our life that we really prove the blessings and the benefits of continuing to live our lives for Christ. Sadly, when things do get hard, people leave off their living for Christ. When things get difficult and situations overcome us, we can leave off our living for the Savior. Paul rather used every situation he found himself in to prove that Christ was worth living for. That Christ was a Savior worth serving. Because you see, in Christ, Paul found peace in the midst of all of his problems. In Christ, Paul found shelter in the midst of all of his storms. And in Christ, Paul found strength in the midst of all of his sorrows. Dear believer, today, whatever you may be going through or will go through in this year, when you find Christ and you live your life for Christ through it, you will really know what living is all about. He lived his life for Christ no matter the situation. Can we say that honestly and openly before God today? That in the year that has passed, that in every situation, this was the summary of my life. For to me to live is Christ. You see the situations in this declaration. We see as well the summary of this declaration, but I want you to see also there's the surrender in this declaration. When Paul, back in Philippians 1 and verse 21, he said, "For to me to live is Christ," he was surrendering his life to the Lord. He was putting the Lord first in his life. He was seeking first the kingdom of God, and he was committing and surrendering his life entirely to the Lord. Do you know what Paul was saying in verse 21 there to Philippians 1? He says, "I am committed to Christ." The C word today in Christianity is a bad word, isn't it? Commitment. Commitment. We'll be committed to many things, but as far as the things of God are concerned, we'll just see how it goes. People don't want to be committed today. Want to come and go. Float in and float out. And Christ sadly takes a secondary position and a secondary priority. The family comes first. The job comes first. The sports come first. Listen, if we are really to know the blessing of God as we must know it in this year, then our relationship with God must come first. And everything else will fall into place after that. Don't lose out with the Lord in this year. Paul was surrendered and Paul was committed to Christ. May that be the testimony of all of our lives in this year. There's the declaration that is specific. And I want you to see as well, secondly, that there is the determination that is sincere. When Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ," he was making a very noble and admirable declaration and desire. It ought to be the desire of all, the hearts of all those who name the name of Christ. Yet to live your life for Christ, folks, will take determination. You can't start off this year in 2023 and say, "I'm going to live it for Christ," and think, "Well, it'll all be all right, it'll all work itself out." No, it won't. There has to be a determination in our lives to actually live for Christ. There has to be this resolution that we are going to keep on living for Christ, no matter what may happen. It will require determination. As we consider this determination, I want us to notice that this determination must be daily. Must be daily. we're going to live for Christ in 2023, as we should and as we ought, there must be a daily determination to go through with God. It's not simply enough to say I lived for Christ yesterday. It's not simply enough to say I lived for Christ the last year or last week or last month, whatever it may be, and think that'll be enough to keep you going. You need to live for Christ every day. Every day. Because every day, as we have pointed out before, the devil is out to trip you up and to destroy you. Writing to the church at Corinth, Paul said, I die daily. He had to die to his own self-will. He had to die every day, and he had to strive every day to overcome the drawings and the feelings of the flesh that would have hindered him, that would have halted him, and held him back from his living for Christ. Every day. Every day we live for Christ, we have to determine in our hearts we're going to live for Christ. The Lord himself said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. The cross was the symbol of public humiliation. It represented death, and the cross of humiliation and submission must be carried daily. We must die to ourselves every day. Die to sin. Die to the flesh. Die to self. Because, as I've said, the devil will be out to make sure that we don't live for Christ. The devil can't destroy your salvation, and he knows that. But I tell you, the devil can do all he can to keep you from living your life for Christ. The devil doesn't want you to be sold out for the Savior. The devil doesn't want you to be determined to live for Christ in 2023. And so he'll use all his power to stop you. That's why we need to daily determine to go through with God. The devil, the flesh, will tell us in 2023, as he told us in 2022, that you don't have time for Christ. You don't need to commit to Christ. Yesterday you left off, and that's okay, and don't worry about it. Just keep on the way you are. The devil will tell you, you don't need to worry about getting too involved in the work of God. The devil will tell you, you don't need to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. The devil will tell you that the little you're doing, well, that's enough. The devil will tell you, and sadly, many have listened to the lies of the devil over recent years. Thankfully, you haven't, because you're here. The devil will tell you, you can sit at home and you can turn on a computer or a phone and you can worship God in the comfort of your home. No, you can't. No, you can't. Yes, that's okay if you're unwell. But you cannot worship God week in, week out, sitting at home. That is not the way of God. But the devil will tell you, that's okay. And sadly, the church, I believe, has a lot to answer for, because we made it okay. God help us from ever doing that again. The devil will tell you, I seen a Tuesday night, you don't need to bother coming to the prayer meeting. Sure, everybody else is going. Leave it to the faithful few. You're busy, you've been tired, and well, just you take a rest. That's what the devil will tell you. You don't need to worry about living your life for the Lord. That's why we need to daily determine in our lives we're going to live for the Lord. die to our own self-will. This determination must be daily. But this determination must also be humbly. Over in Philippians 3, and the verse 12, Paul writes, "Not as though I had already attained, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." Do you know of anybody, their life was marked by dedication and determination to the Lord? It surely was the Apostle Paul. And yet he says, "I haven't attained it. I'm not perfect." You see, what was Paul doing there? Paul wasn't determining his life or examining his life in the light of how other Christians were living. Because maybe if you were to examine your life or stand up your life beside how other Christians are living, maybe you're doing all right. But listen, our example for service and living for Christ is not another Christian. Our example in living for Christ is Christ Himself. And in light of how Christ lived His life on this earth, doing the Father's will, Paul realized, "I'm not even there. I've much more to do." Paul was humble and Paul was honest before God. "One of the concerns I have is that the devil has lulled some of God's people into this, some sense of complacency. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm doing enough. And I'll say the right things and I'll do the right things and I'm just all right." Paul realized that he had much, much more to do. Paul sought to go forward in his living for Christ. He hadn't reached some sort of spiritual plateau and think that was enough. Because when you get there, you're stuck, you're stagnant, and you're still. God save us becoming stagnant in our Christian walk. Maybe you've allowed circumstances to keep you from living for Christ. Is it not time you go back to the Lord? Whatever you lost out with Him, get back to that place and start living again for Him. Maybe you've lost out with Christ because of some failure. You feel the Lord and the devil has told you you've nothing now to offer. The devil's a liar. You get back to the Lord. Seek His forgiveness. Confess that failure. Start living your life again for Christ. There's the declaration that is specific. There's the determination that is sincere. But finally, as we close, I want us to see there's the demonstration that is seen. We really could do a whole series of messages on this one point. Because you see, Paul not only declared with his lips that Christ was the center of his life when he said, "For to me to live is Christ," he demonstrated it by his life. Others saw it. And whenever a person is sold out for Christ, you will see it. How did we see it? How do we see it in Paul's life? See it first of all in his contentment. His contentment. Philippians chapter 4. In the verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Therewith to be content. Writing to Timothy, he said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." And when Paul speaks there in verse 11 of chapter 4 of being content in whatever state or whatever situation, he says, he talks about a contentment that is independent of the situations. Whatever circumstance he finds himself in, he says, "I'm content." Why? Because he finds his contentment not in the circumstances, but in Christ. In verse 10 of chapter 4, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord." Folks, don't rejoice in your circumstances, because they might be pleasant to you today, and they might be unpleasant to you tomorrow. But whether your circumstances are pleasant or whether they are unpleasant, you can still rejoice in Christ. And when we have that state of heart and that frame of mind, we will be content. We can all be given to a complaining spirit, maybe even a bitter spirit at times. We're backbiting. We're always downing people. Everybody's wrong and I'm right sort of attitude. That's not the mark of a life lived for Christ. Oh yes, there'll be disappointments, there'll be distresses, there'll be discouragements. Of course there'll be. Paul experienced them all, but Paul said in them all, I'm content. Because his life was taken up with Christ. Paul knew that his Lord loved him. Paul knew that whatever would happen to him, his Lord would still be with him. Paul knew that when the going would get tough, as often it did for Paul, that the Lord would bring him through, the Lord would guide him, the Lord would protect him. The Lord would bring him through whatever the circumstances. Because in it all, he still had Christ. The hymn writer said, when shadows deep around me, and gloom and fear my soul enthrall, there is an arm beneath them all. Oh, bless the Lord, I've Jesus. And what though the world its gifts deny, I've riches more than gold can buy, the key to treasure in the sky. Oh, bless the Lord, I've Jesus. And whatever 2023 may bring to us, days of sunshine or days of sorrow, if you're saved today, you can still bless the Lord. You've still got Him. And when you've got Christ, what need we more? His life was demonstrated by contentment, but his life was also demonstrated by a craving. Over in Philippians chapter 3 in the verse 10, he makes this statement, that I may know him. He craved after Christ. He wanted to be identified with every aspect and part of Christ, his power, his sufferings, his obedience, his passion. He just longed to know more about Christ. There's a life lived for the Savior. There's a life lived for the Lord. I want to know more about Him. Eliza Hewitt, one of the hymn writers whose hymns are in our books, she had a promising career as a teacher. Philadelphia in America, but she was involved in an accident. She was paralyzed for a good part of her life, confined to bed for long periods of time. And yet even as she was lying there in her sick bed, she still was content in Christ and craved after Christ and wrote the words of that hymn, more about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus. Do we have that craving to know more about Him? We see this demonstration in Paul's life and his contentment and his craving, but also in his confidence. We come back to the words of our motto text. Philippians 1 verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain. You see, as Paul lived for Christ, he had this tremendous confidence that one day he was going to be with Christ. you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, you should not fear death. None of us want to die. None of us want our loved ones to be taken from us. But for those who die in Christ, it is gain for them. And dear believer, for that moment when it comes our time to close our eyes in this world, death will be gain for us because we will have gained far more than we could ever have imagined this side of eternity. What a confidence. What a way to face life with a confidence. Paul was heavenly minded. He was not so much thinking about what heaven is like and what they'll be doing in heaven. And those are questions I know that are asked. Paul was thinking of what the greatest gain of death would be to him. Is that he would be with Christ. With Christ. Many in this congregation have lost loved ones in recent times and in times gone by. But your loved ones who have died in Christ have gained far more than we will ever imagine. We have lost them and we miss them. But their gain is beyond compare. How could Paul live for Christ through all the circumstances, through all the hard times? Because one day he knew he would see his Savior face to face and would be able to say, "It was worth it all. Worth it all." And folks, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. We sing His praises for all eternity. And we spend all eternity with Him. It will be worth it all. Therefore, in the light of eternity, let's live our lives for Christ, realizing that the only thing that matters is what we've done with Christ. We'll not be asked to give an account of how much money we made or didn't make. We'll not be asked to give an account of how far you climbed the social ladder or the career ladder in your work or your business. We'll give an account of what we've done with Christ. Would we be able to say, "For to me to live is Christ"? May we give our lives entirely, wholeheartedly to the Lord this year. Because remember, He gave His life for us. You know that well-known saying and statement of Charles Studd, the man who gave up a life of fame and fortune here to go to India to tell others of Jesus Christ. He said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. For to me to live is Christ." May that be our priority this year, above everything else. Whatever other plans or aims or ambitions we may have for this year, may our priority be His cause, His church, His crown. For to me to live is Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We ask, O God, that today for those in this meeting, saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, may it be our desire, determination, this year to go through with God, to live for him, to put our lives on the altar for him, to seek to do what we can to serve him and to advance his kingdom. Lord, for those who are still unsaved, we pray, Lord, that even today, that they'll come and start living for Christ, give their hearts and lives in repentance and faith over to him. May they start the Christian life today, experience the greatest blessings that can ever be known this side of eternity. Help us, O God, to put thee first. Help us to be done with our own self-will, with our own desires, our own plans, our own ambitions. Lord, we pray that our motto will be this year as it was for Paul, for to me to live is Christ. Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.